Hi, this is Graham Thickens, and I'm at Best Buy this morning, Tuesday morning, the day after Labor Day, September 7th, and I have with me Robert Stevens. How you doing, Robert?
Good. How you doing, Graham?
And we had a little meeting set up for this morning, and I decided to turn on the audio recorder here and do a little MP3 for my blog. And Robert, how are things going for you?
Good. Busy as ever.
You have a new role here at Best Buy.
You could say I have a new title, but my
new
role.
Title.
Yeah, I mean, I'm now the Chief Technology Officer for Best Buy. Most people know me as the founder of the Geek Squad. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know that I've actually been involved with Geek Squad nonstop since 1994. And in a way, I'm still involved with it.
Yeah. What year was it when Best Buy acquired Geek Squad?
Well, I started Geek Squad in 94. Mm-hmm. I called Best Buy in 2000 to join forces, and we dated for a couple of years before we got married. And we got married in October of 2002 when Geek Squad acquired Best Buy.
Ah, I've heard you say that before. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So tell us what led to this new role. You report to the CEO now, I assume?
That's right. Yep.
To Brian Dunn.
I report to Brian Dunn, the CEO, who's been CEO for about a year now. Well, I mean, I've always been kind of an advisor ever since coming in Best Buy, being an advisor on technology. You know, obviously with Geek Squad, we're, you know, the service arm for Best Buy. And so I've always been in an advisory role while maintaining my duties of taking care of 25,000 Geek Squad agents worldwide now.
Wow,
I mean, we have Geek Squad agents, you know, in all Best Buy, all 1,200 Best Buy stores in the U.S., all Canada stores, Mexico, Spain, UK, and China,
mm-hmm.
As well as 13 service centers around the country, 8 call centers. So,
wow.
So it's a pretty big operation. This new role came about because I think Brian was looking to have somebody, you know, most people don't know, the difference between a CIO and a CTO. A CIO is in charge of the information systems.
Yes.
Making sure the laser printers print, making sure the payroll works, the Wi-Fi networks aren't hacked in the stores.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of work and a lot of big teams and a lot of big budgets there.
Sure.
The CTO traditionally is a strategist, technology trends. I mean, take trends like geolocation, RFID, tablets. These kind of technological trends mean different things for different companies. So geolocation means different things for Amazon than they do for Walmart, than they do for Intel or Microsoft, and for Best Buy. So what does geolocation mean for Best Buy? So my job is really to translate these trends into kind of actionable intelligence for a Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I struggle sometimes because there's so many companies I'd want to work for. You know, maybe a small startup firm. Small firms can be very nimble and innovative. I'd love to work at Facebook. I'd love to work at Google. People ask me, why don't you work at Apple or Google or Facebook? And I say, I do. Because when you work at Best Buy,
yeah,
I was
right.
out at Facebook headquarters 2 weeks ago, and I met Sheryl Sandberg, the COO. I was, at Google. I met Andy Rubin, the creator of Android. That would never have happened if I'd stayed a small little startup in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So, because Best Buy has a role to play, and even some of the big tech companies don't even see it. Like with the new Xbox Kinect and some of the new technologies like geolocation, the concept of physical place and physical space, as these computers become more touch and gesture based,
mm-hmm.
a physical retail environment is perfect and actually has advantages over an Amazon, because it's not just about price. If it were about price, Dell would be the number one computer maker in the world.
That's right.
So I think if history's taught us anything, is that, you know, you've got to stay true to yourself and focus on those things. And you know, Best Buy is just a dynamic place to work because we're only as good as the products that we kind of assort.
Well, and I think that's what people find fascinating about you, is that it was 2002 when you were acquired and you're still with the company. I mean, people find that amazing, you know, because most people think of smaller companies getting acquired, the founder gradually fades away after a year or two. But
you've been
on record many times as saying you're as excited as ever about Best Buy. And
yeah, I mean, I thought that's what would happen too. I'd never worked for a large corporation before, especially not a public one. I'm not really a retail person. I don't get excited about sorting stuff in stores. I care about technology, but I'm looking for a palette to kind of, and a canvas to do some stuff on. I studied what happened to people that sold their companies and left, and, you know, they either quit or got kicked out. Now, I think the reason they quit, no offense to anybody, but I think people kind of give up. They don't like being part of a team. You know, when you run your own company, you can be your own boss, but frankly, I thought, if I'm so damn smart, I ought to be able to win the arguments in the corporate boardrooms. And so far, so good. So I really had three rules that if I was going to stay, it's got to be fun, that the company will listen, and that I've got actually something to contribute. And so far, the answer's been yes. But the day that one of the answer to those three questions is no, I'm out of here. But, I mean, every time I think, you know, okay, well, we expanded Geek Squad to all the stores and then in the home, then it was like, okay, maybe it's time for me to, you know, go do something else. Then it was like, oh, we're going to expand internationally. Oh, now we're going to expand it in, you know, appliances and home theater. Oh, now we're going to, you know, purchase the largest mobile phone retailer in Europe called Carphone Warehouse. Oh, now we're going to, now tablets are coming. So it's like, then all of a sudden, I'd really finally done all that. Mm-hmm. And then Brian Dunn met with Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, in January. It was their first meeting, and he called me 2 days before the meeting and said, I want you to fly with me on the company jet. We're going to go to New York, and we're going to meet Eric Schmidt, and I want you next to me. And I was like, and Brian and I really didn't know each other that well. I mean, it's a big, there's 4,000 people here at the campus. You just only get to know people so well. And we hadn't really worked that closely together. So we go. And while in that meeting, you know, we all kind of took our ties off and relaxed and got along really well. Stu, the head scientist at Google, was there, and a couple other people. And I just murmured a couple ideas I had for how Best Buy and Google could do things together, which was totally not on the agenda or whatever. And I said, like, oh, we should do Google Latitude for the enterprise. If you could map employees, that would, you know, the idea of a company as a social network. Well, there were a number of those ideas that we talked about that Eric Schmidt was like, we hadn't even thought of that before. And so he's like, you know, apparently he told Brian later, he's like, I think Robert is a really smart guy. We'd like to work with you guys. Well, know, being the CEO of Best Buy, you know, he'd only been in the job 6 months. Having the CEO of Google come away very impressed.
No wonder you got invited to Zeitgeist next week.
Yeah, yeah? The plane ride on the way home, Brian said, I'd like you to be our CTO. And I was like, great. So I was ready with a plan. There's a number of things I wanted to do. And it actually took about 7 months to work it out. A long series of internal stories, but eventually the role was created. And apparently that's one of the shorter ones. So some people, it's taken a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing you trade off. In a small business, you can be innovative and nimble and move quickly. But the problem is small startups tend to lack leverage. Large companies have leverage, influence, resources, but it's like turning a battleship. You have to turn slow. Yeah. And I think that is the main reason why some people just like to move at a faster pace. I actually probably prefer a startup. It's more fun. This is harder work.
Oh, I believe
it. I guess there's too many resources in a big company for me to walk away from that. It's like a gigantic factory that if you rearrange the gears the right way, you can do some amazing stuff.
Right.
So I'm really here to see if you can do both. Is it possible to have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah, and the pace for you is the pace of technology changing. That's what keeps your motor going, I'm sure, trying to keep up on all this stuff.
I couldn't work for like an insurance company, which, you know, is very stable and slow. I couldn't deal with that. I'd get bored out of my skull. So I mean, basically, I think I have the best job. I mean, the best job before this was running Geek Squad. Now basically I still essentially am the spiritual godfather to Geek Squad. But now I get to travel the world. I get to go to all these companies, who a lot of them don't know the value of having partnerships inside of Best Buy. And can you imagine what we could do with Facebook, like having Facebook pre-installed on televisions? Because televisions are about to get operating systems.
Oh, you better believe it, yeah.
So all these devices are about to become totally interconnected in real time wirelessly. Yeah. And I feel like the next 5 to 10 years will just be hooking people up and exploiting the apps that
yep.
you can do across these,
absolutely.
What I call the four screens.
Well, yeah, now we're hearing about TV apps, you know, and a TV app store. Even
yeah.
being announced by somebody.
Yeah,
I
mean, my predictions
are... Samsung, was it? Or?
Yeah, like, we own Napster, and frankly, I think that we could do a lot more with Napster. I think Napster could stream video as well as audio.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could sell books. I'd like to let, you know, I mean, Kindle's doing that. Kindle has an app on your iPad. They have their own physical devices. Well, we make TVs, you know, most people don't know, but Best Buy is the number 5 maker of televisions in the world, the Insignia brand. We're rated by Consumer Reports in the top 3 in quality.
Wow.
You know, I have an influence over what operating system is going to run on that TV, and I'm taking a look at WebOS. I'm looking at Android. You know, Apple's kind of their own deal. So I never thought that I'd be able to sit on the main chessboard. Basically, in a way, you could say doing battle with Steve Jobs, which is he really competes against himself. But I would, you know, I would argue that there's a lot of partnerships we could do with Google. That Google just really cares about advertising, but. I think, for example, I think one of the killer apps is not internet on your TV. While that is cool, I don't think most people are going to understand it until after they have it. But I think if you tell most people that they can get rid of their remote control and control their television with their mobile phone, I think that would get a lot of people to sign up, not only for TVs, but for smartphones.
Oh, yeah.
So that's an example of an offer that we could join two parts of the stores that are kind of disconnected today.
Sure, sure. And when you speak about Google, I mentioned earlier you're going to their invite-only event next week, Zeitgeist?
Yeah, they have this once a year, and it's about, I think they said 400 people this year, and I'm super excited. A lot of limited, I think, you know, Tom Brokaw and Ted Turner and other people will be there, and I'm actually mainly going to spend time with the internal Google people, because what I want to do is I want a special relationship between Google and Best Buy.
Yeah.
I think that I think they could do some very interesting things together.
Well, yeah, and like you say, their search business is, what, 92% of their revenues. They need more stuff, you know,
yeah.
they need more streams of revenue, and
yeah.
so it seems like a good marriage to me. You know?
Well, I think the main problem for every company, not just Best Buy, is that software really is the engine. And there are only 2 really great software companies in the world. I mean, Apple and Google, and maybe Facebook, you know, and there's Microsoft out there, but the world's not going to tolerate 7 to 10 ecosystems. They're probably going to tolerate 4 to 5 at the most, and probably 3 dominant ones. The question is, who's going to be number 3? Is it WebOS? Is it Windows 7? I don't know. My job is to kind of help predict that. So people have to partner with those ecosystems and take advantage of them.
Sure.
And so that's the next great kind of battleground.
Sure, sure. Well, it sounds like your new position is going to keep you on the road a lot and meeting with these companies. Of course, many of them come here to meet with you, too. It isn't like you have to always go to them, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I think traditionally, though, the relationship the Best Buy's had with somebody is somebody else dreams up, designs, manufactures, and markets excitement. You know, like they would traditionally rely on a Sony or somebody to create the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
But increasingly, companies, to preserve the margin and profit on a device, they have to add their own value. So Best Buy, to maintain its relevance, has to add value. And I think the value we can add is getting the phone to talk to the television.
Mm-hmm.
And Google can't do that just by releasing the software. Android, frankly, is not the most user-friendly operating system in the world. That's the role. So Geek Squad brought a bit of that into Best Buy. Now we join it. So my part of the reason I'm still here is my vision hasn't actually been fully realized. It just took a long time, but I'm working on a much bigger goal here, where anybody, the average person, can have access to what we geeks have kind of had access to on our own.
Yeah.
And so those are some examples of kind of...
So software development is becoming a more important function at Best Buy all the time.
Think of the car makers, right? The car makers have almost an existential issue. They're going to want to control the dashboard in your car. The car companies can't even properly do iPhone integration to listen to your music in the car, let alone do probably a good Bluetooth implementation. They're not software designers. I mean, I have an Audi, and that they have this rotary dial interface. It's not unlike the BMW iDrive. I just think that it could be done way better.
Yeah.
But what are the odds that they're going, no different than the TV manufacturers, they're just not likely all going to create their own, was there going to be a Ford operating system?
Yeah.
So really the future is probably when you buy a car, do you want Mac or Windows? And I don't even know if there'll be a computer in the car. I really think your phone will be
in your pocket. Yeah,
that's right.
Or and mounted on your dash,
with a custom screen that pops up.
Yeah.
Best Buy, I think, has an ability to influence what those companies do.
Yeah.
So that means that traditionally, instead of spending time at CES about marketing, I actually am trying to spend time traveling. The reason I'm traveling to the headquarters of these companies is to build a relationship with the engineering teams.
Mm-hmm.
So if Android or Facebook is planning on a bunch of new features, I'm going to make sure. It takes about a year to get that integrated into the product roadmap, so it's in time for the holidays and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, retailers have never had to think about that. They've retailed. They've never done any tailoring.
Right.
So to maintain profits, that's basically the strategy, is to swim upstream in the supply chain.
Beautiful.
And add value. And that's why we're hosting Minibar. That's why we use a lot of local developers who are helping us build our Android apps.
Yep.
So I envision this kind of perfect partnership between the biggest companies in the tech world, Best Buy at the center, and then combined with kind of public-private partnerships at the University of Minnesota and local developers in a kind of a troika.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I we've heard you speak to this before, but can we also expect to see you out on the conference circuit speaking at more national tech events? Do you get a lot of invites to do that?
I've been speaking for 12 years.
Yeah.
In fact, I keep raising my fee because busier and busier. But I donate all my speaking fees to charity. Usually to Minnesota Public Radio, which I'm on the board of, and I just joined the board of the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. What I do is whenever I give a speech, I let them write the check right to the organization. It goes to them.
Sure.
So I probably do about 12 to 15 speeches.
What kinds of events have you done in the last year?
I don't do as many tech events because people don't really think of me actually as tech because I'm more an integrator. I don't write software. I don't design hardware. But Geeks What kind of? Usually half the events I do are marketing and advertising firms.
Yes.
About branding.
You've done such a great job with that. Yeah. Yeah.
The other half are actually TED conferences. I haven't spoken at TED, but ones that are similar to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm speaking at the wireless influencers in a couple weeks, and that's like all the wireless industry analysts are going to be there. I'm speaking in Barcelona next month at a mobile conference.
Sure, they do a lot of mobile stuff over there,
Yeah, so stuff like that.
I suspect as people learn more about your new role and with your partnerships with these large tech firms is that you will get opportunity to appear at some of these larger events on panels with... with some of these guys.
I think the thing that the way people should look at it from what I'm seeing is that we tend to overestimate the capability of even the biggest tech companies, I mean, Amazon is pure digital. Best Buy is not likely to beat Amazon in the pure digital space, but they're never going to beat us. We're essentially human-powered search.
Yeah.
If you could look at the Best Buy store as a kind of a physical search engine for solutions.
Sure, sure.
Walmart's really going to focus on price. Dell's efficiency only takes them so far. Microsoft, despite all their billions of dollars, has been unable to crack the search market in a way. They've grown a little bit of share. Google, while genius in so many areas, we've begun to see their limitations. They have difficulty productizing anything, especially like in social networking. Facebook, it has momentum and 500 million users, but there are limits to what they can do. Twitter hasn't actually cracked the advertising model. So that should give hope to everybody in the tech space that everybody has their Achilles heels and, they have their strengths and weaknesses. And I think as these companies become more self-aware, they will look to partner and I will be ready to say, hey, Facebook, how do we get Facebook on the television so that you can interact while you're watching a show and do social sharing, and other things like that.
So, is in this role as kind of the evangelist out there, are you? Did I hear you say you're? It's basically just you, no staff.
I intentionally ask for no staff because, you know, my job is to help all the other business units at Best Buy, the private label team, the exclusive brands team, the home theater team, the services team, the computing team, the Best Buy mobile team. You know, my job is to give advice to all of them so they can kind of help think farther out and stay ahead of the competition. So it forces me to work through other people. If I had my own team, in a way, I think it might engender some kind of internal competition, and that's the last thing I need.
Yeah,
I'm not, only as good as the advice I give.
Right, you're not out for empire building here.
I am. I just don't want to build more than one.
Yeah, you've already built one. Yeah. So who's running Geek Squad now?
Well, George Sherman, who used to be president of Home Depot Services, who was hired a year ago. So there was a kind of a year transition, and I couldn't have thought of somebody better to do it. So he's Senior Vice President of Services, and he's a great guy. You know, came from the Air Force. Then he actually ran Mervyn's. He worked with Ron Johnson at Target, who runs Apple stores.
Now. Oh, yes. Yeah. And then, my buddy Steve Borsch knows him.
Yeah, and then he was president of Home Depot Services. So he's got a lot of experience dealing with a large service workforce. I mean, he's like the perfect candidate. And he's kind of disciplined. And he's such a... the way I describe him is he's so good. Like, some people have a poker face. This guy, you wouldn't even know he's playing poker.
Were you instrumental in recruiting him?
No. I was involved in the process.
Yeah.
I basically, you know, there were rumors they were looking at internal candidates, and I really felt like, you know, I just kind of challenged Best Buy to say, listen, whoever you get has to be the best. Yeah. Like, really, really good. And I think they found him.
They had one of the top recruiting firms in the country, I'm sure, that went after the guy. Yeah. And when did he officially come on board?
About a year ago.
Okay.
Yep. Last spring of 2009.
Yeah.
And so he and I get along great. We still work together because you know, the great thing about being founders, that's the one title no one can ever take away from you.
That's right.
So, you know, my message to the Geek Squad agents wasn't that I'm leaving Geek Squad. In a way, my promotion to CTO is kind of a promotion for all Geek Squad agents. It's a recognition that the Geek Squad has a valid contribution at the highest levels of Best Buy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, Robert, it's we're coming up on 21 minutes here. This is great. We could go on for an hour, I'm sure, but we should maybe reserve that for a future Minovate podcast when you've got some things to talk about, some of your early accomplishments in your new role. We'd love to
I've been in this business for 16 years. Every week has been more interesting than the last one.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Wow. You're living the life, I'll tell you. And we love keeping up with you here in the Twin Cities. So we're going to be watching closely as you embark on this new role. I'm sure there's a lot of exciting things ahead.
Great.
Thanks, Robert.
Take care.
Good